Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, will join us very shortly. And he joins us now, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, because it is Hutton o'clock. Hutton, always appreciate you. Ian Rappaport reported this morning that Will Levis will get the start on Sunday. We just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium about an hour ago saying, no, I never said that. What do you make of the quarterback situation?
Well, last week I told you guys I had just had a suspicion we would see both guys in the game. I still think we will. I still think we'll see Malik Willis. I think they'll have packages in for him, but this is a Will Levis game. If Ryan Tannehill can't go, Levis should be the guy, quite frankly. And I think it's just because I think we can watch Malik Willis and know he's not the starter next year. We know that.
Yes.
We can watch him play and know that he can be the backup. He can be the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans if he wants to continue down this path. And so the Titans, but Titans need to figure out what they have in Levis. And if Tannehill's not available, by the way, Tannehill, if he is available, he's the guy, but he's not going to be. It should be Levis. And I don't know. Here's my thing on what Vrabel's doing. He wants both guys to prepare during the week. Like they don't know what's going on. And I think everyone is, it's as clear as day what's happening here. Will Levis is going to start against the Atlanta Falcons.
It is pretty obvious that if it's between believing Ian Rappaport's report and believing what Mike Vrabel says at the podium, probably going to side with Ian Rappaport. But you say you still think that we're going to see a little bit of Malik Willis. What do you think that balance is going to be? Is it Will Levis with a short leash? Is it, like you mentioned, just a couple of packages for Malik Willis to come in? What is the good balance there between seeing both of those quarterbacks?
No, I think the balance is just what down and distance and what situations is Malik Willis at his best? How do you get the most out of his skill set? For the last year and a half, we've heard nothing but Vrabel mentioned how he doesn't want Willis to just take one read and bounce out of the pocket, where sometimes that's totally fine. And hey, with this offensive line, sometimes you have to do that. So I think there will be situations where they can use his legs, get him out on the run, get him out of the pocket, and allow some things to either develop with a route with him or with the back out of the backfield with him, or use his legs to go get a first down. But it's the thing about Willis in the previous game was just the situational awareness, the moments where you take a sack with the clock running down, or you have the deal where there's a busted play because Spears doesn't pick up a block on the edge. And that means Willis on a run where he's going to the pylon, can't get to the pylon, but still tries to get up the sideline and dive for the end zone instead of get out of bounds and save clock. Like those are things that, that you have to take note of, and hopefully they can improve on with him. But those instances are what I'm saying, where he's not the starter next year. That it's more about those things than it is just overall skill, because the guy's got tons of athleticism that they can use. And I don't think that they would go into a week without trying to have something ready for him, because there's also a scenario where Levis comes in and does not play all that well.
Yeah, it is. And if that happens, I think it would be unfortunate. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton, host of Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Now, do you believe because I did mention to Caroline and Willie that if Levis comes in and they see what they want to see from him, do you think this is the beginning of, you know, Will Levis's, you know, stint as starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. This reminds me a bit of the whole VY thing, but it's kind of reversed because this isn't on Tannehill. Whenever they made VY the starter as the rookie, and you know, he goes on to do some really good things and they will go on a run. It reminds me just from the situation of, okay, what if, and then the if happened. And then everyone got on board with the following offseason, right? With this case, Mace, Tannehill gives them the best chance to win right now. But if you start stacking wins, which the Titans were not doing, then you stick with the hot hand because that's the momentum. And oh, by the way, I think you'll vouch for this. The vets will be on board with that. You know, that's where you start building the confidence within the locker room, despite what's gone on this week with Kevin Byard or whatever else could go on over the next few days. I'm saying let it play out, but sure. And this is also on the ankle of Tannehill. And it goes back to another conversation we had last week. If Tannehill knows he's not the guy and he's been team first, he's as tough as they come, he's rehabbing, he's trying to get back on the field, all of those things, I believe. But if you have the option for a certain procedure, maybe last year, you put it aside trying to push through it, when this year it's the business that hits the crossroads with the game. And I'm not saying that Tannehill's doing that. I have no evidence of that. I'm simply saying we've seen players do it before, and that's just the harsh reality of the business, just like it was harsh reality that they traded Kevin Byard.
Do you think the success of Will Levis is predicated on how well Tim Kelly and Charles London gets him prepared for this game and how they approach this game with Will Levis? Because my thing is, he doesn't have to win the game, but if he shows that he has command of what's going on and he's getting better, that's all I, as a, you know, a guy from outside looking in, that's all I want to see. Damn the wins and losses, because to me the roster's not that good anyway. But if he shows that he's picking up on what's going on, a la, you know, Vince Young or even Steve McNair, it wasn't about wins. It was about, are you improving as a quarterback? So that's what I would love to see. But do you think a lot of that is really, this is where Tim Kelly and Charles London earns their money?
No doubt. But, you know, the other thing, like you're saying, how do they do the game plan with Levis? I'm just thinking about what made him great in his great moments, Mace, at Kentucky. And it wasn't last year, it was the year prior, where they were able to, they were run first and a defensive-minded football team, where they came around and started surprising people. And to me, that's the game plan, and you let your rookie play off of that. You know, I think the most successful rookies that come into the league have a run game, and they have an O-line that protects them on downs and distances where they've got to throw. But they take their lumps. They take their lumps and get the ball out fast. Have receivers that win 50-50 balls that are going to win the combat catches. We haven't seen that on a routine basis either. And I also haven't seen on a routine basis the desire to just run the ball. So that has to be in the works if you're looking for the best possible success story to come out of all of this. The other good factor here, and I was joking yesterday with Withrow that I'm starting Desmond Ridder on my fantasy team this week because there's always the quarterback you don't assume is going to play great against this Titans defense, and they go out and have a career day for the rest of their career. They'll look back on this week, you know, week 8 in Nashville. But I also say this is not the most daunting opponent to face in your first career start. Now, it's the NFL. It's not going to be easy for a first career start. But, I mean, it's better than going up against some of the defenses I've seen from these rookies already. And Levis was pretty high on the radar of many analysts and mock drafters and all that this April for good reason, because he has the skill set necessary that you can see and develop. And if they've been doing what they've been doing behind the scenes, Mace, to your original question, about the game plan, this should be a development plan for Levis if they've been doing the right things behind the scenes, Kelly and London, because we haven't heard or seen from him all that much. He's been getting practice reps, getting the scout team reps, but then the rookies also traditionally stay after a little bit and work with the coordinator and quarterback coach. So let's see how that has all panned out as well.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So Hutt, if you're, I think we all agree that it's now time to set the table for Levis to have a chance to be the starter. So I thought very early in the press conference today when Teresa asked Mike Vrabel, why not give him all the reps? And he goes into the whole thing. Well, I never said he was the starter, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's a really good question, though. Like, I think if in our if we're going to wear our amateur GM hat here, our assessment of Malik Willis, I think the consensus is tracking to be a solid backup, maybe a late bloomer way down the road, but not going to be your starter next year. I think that's a very fair assessment that most people would agree with. Then I think maybe there is a good argument for just saying Levis does get all the reps at practice. Agree?
Unless they just want Levis to beat out Willis finally. I mean, that's the other thing is take the damn job.
But doesn't it help to get the reps, though, if you haven't had any reps? I mean, I can see both sides of it. You create the inner competition, but I also see we have to give this guy a chance.
Mm-hmm. Willie, I'm with you, man. Like, there's no benefit in playing a back and forth game if Levis is your starter and he's not getting the reps. I'm totally with you. But like, I'm trying to see like why you would split it. You're either legitimately going to, you know, you're splitting reps on the packages or the situations where you're using Willis, or, you know, you're wanting Levis to go out there and just grab it and have a great practice week. Meanwhile, I guess, I mean, it's also fair to say that, I mean, that Willis has been the backup, not Levis. So I reading into the whole conversation of the last 2 weeks of, okay, who would be the starter? Are they going to go to Willis? Because Levis has been the third. Well, the third guy's got to take the second string, and they're at least allowing us to know that the second string hasn't been good enough to be named the starter, but they're also not just allowing Levis to, you know, skip over him. When I think in this situation, you might as well do it. Unless you're just going to straight up say, Willis is going to be used in situational, aspects of our game plan, and we're going to use him to the best of his ability because we're going to do the same with Will Levis. We're going to let it rip. And we're going to run the football and let it rip when it's time to throw. Now, Will Levis is going to do that, but he's not going to be nearly as mobile or as athletic as Willis will give you in certain spots. Now, it's up to Willis to make the play, but I understand what they see and why they want to use him in certain moments. And I wouldn't force it, but I do think they know it, field position, what's at stake, what they need, and which players are involved in the play that Willis is going to be using and installed, why they're going to him instead of Levis.
Yeah, tricky situation from a lot of fronts, including internally with Malik Willis. Like Derek, you've been saying, you don't want to lose him, right? You want to keep him engaged. You don't want to feel like, hey, I got skipped without even getting my chance. Now you know, that's, you got to be delicate with that, but sometimes it is the reality. Like this, we drafted Will Levis for a reason after we already had you on the roster. So there's a reason they drafted Levis.
Well,
so
let me jump in one more time here. Cause here's an idea, like just a play in mind on the play where Malik Willis, he was supposed to outrun two defenders on the edge for the pylon in London. Spears was up top and turned his head for whatever reason to see if Willis had handed the football off to DeAndre Hopkins on the jet, and or flip pass mm-hmm. on a jet, because that I guess the pass versus run would determine what Spears is going to do and how he blocks the play away from the ball, and by turning his head he missed the block, and that's why the confusion happened on get out of bounds or go for the pylon. Well, it has that been a play, for instance, that Levis has been running and they want to use that in the red zone? Like that's the situations where I can see Willis in the game, just because he's clearly practiced it, because he ran it, he kept the ball mm-hmm. on what looked like an RPO, it may be a keeper all the way, and you had Hopkins flash in front of his face, you also had Henry flare out of the backfield Hopkins direction, and Willis went the opposite way. I think those are instances where Levis, as the scout team QB, hasn't necessarily been running those snaps.
Jonathan, what did you think of the decision to trade Byard and the return they got?
I mean, the return is better than I thought, honestly. A fifth and a sixth and a player. The fifth and the sixth helped more. And this was a team that had six picks. Three of those six were seventh rounders before the trade. I mean, this is if we all agree, and I think we do, that Malik Willis isn't the starter next year, we also know that the depth wasn't going to improve all that much next year based on the draft capital that they had. They're going to have to make more moves. Doesn't necessarily have to be over the next few days. But the contract itself, Willie, set up the Titans to make this deal. Howie Roseman had called this past offseason about Byard. I know for a fact he's been very high on the Titans' safeties in years past, and he wanted to make a deal prior to making this one and couldn't get it done based on the contract. So the whole restructure of what they did, or the pay cut right before the season, facilitated this. Byard gets to go back to Philly. I'm happy for him because he's playing for a contender. And just overall thoughts immediately is, man, that one of the greatest to put on the jersey, and just overall what he embodied for the team and the community and the area, just legit, self-made too. Like, yeah, from Philly, moves in the eighth grade with his mom when his mom and dad get divorced. In the eighth grade, moves to Atlanta. He's the second oldest, and he and his oldest brother, they end up raising the other, for the most part, raising the other five brothers and sisters that are in the house with them, because his mom was working two, sometimes three jobs. So he would help get the kids a bath, get them dinner, make sure they did their homework, make sure they went to bed on time, all in the eighth and ninth grade. And I think that shaped him into the man he became, and the mentality that he had. And this was even during a time where Kentucky offers him a scholarship. They pull the scholarship last minute. He was going to be a wide receiver, ends up being a safety at Middle Tennessee State because of that, and had options to leave while he was at Middle and chose not to because he wasn't going to pull out the way that Kentucky did. And ends up with the Titans. The whole storyline fits the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, he got paid and didn't walk out in a Boss Hog suit like LaJuan. I mean, that's just the different mentality there. And he lived up to the expectations and then some.
No. I still look, when that happened, when that happened, I was so upset. Like, dude, like, seriously, Taylor, this is what you resort to? It's like,
yeah.
Showboating. Dude,
it wasn't even a showboating. It was just like, man, do you know, I don't really want to go there. It's like, you know what that whole show, that you just can't do that, man. You can't.
And hey, and the opposite. I'm not. This is not.
And Byard was the opposite. Yeah. Contrast.
Taylor was a good player when he was when he was available. I think that's the bigger part. Mm-hmm. He was available. Byard was always in the game, yeah, even when starters are sitting out for rest for a win and end type game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
Byard's in the game.
Here is the follow-up question that to me is going to be a major, major chapter here. And that is, and we touched on it yesterday, that first press conference where Mike Vrabel is trying to wear both hats. Everybody knows he's in on the decision. Unlike maybe what he could have played with the A.J. Brown. Joe wrote about this in The Athletic, a very good article about this issue of wearing both hats. When you're winning, it's a lot easier for the coach to be in the foxhole. This is my team. We're winning. And I'm making the decisions. I'm buying the groceries, too. It's a little tougher when you're in this mode that we think they're about to go into, which is a little bit more of a developmental, a little more process, a little more plan for next year, the year after. How do you think he's going to handle that? Because we know we've learned a lot about Mike Vrabel, the competitor, the fiery player. That's what he takes with him as a coach. It is not easy to do both. It never is, but especially when you're in this position of you're going to have to turn this roster over.
Yes, and I mean, now perception is reality. Vrabel's calling a lot of the shots behind the scenes, and The other aspect as to why I think Vrabel needed to speak on it, and I think Carthon will speak after the trade deadline if they make another move or two, because you want to make sure that you get the total message out there while, you know, you're also open for business. And by the way, Vrabel was also the one that said that, you know, they'll do anything possible to make their team better, a question that Caroline asked right before the bye. It wasn't Carthon. He's the man in charge. There's no other way to people go to him. Reminds me a lot of Fisher, because when Floyd was up top, you know, we would see him at practice. He would speak quite a bit, but you went to Fisher as kind of the figurehead of whatever they were doing to speak on the player that they had just moved. And I guess that's by design, but with Vrabel, I think it's more because he gave input, but he was heavy on the input with the decision to do something, because this is not a coach that would sign up for trading a veteran and a captain and a true leader behind the scenes and just be okay with the decision over a phone call, a text, or a quick little chat before you went out to practice. This the other part of it, Willie, I think, is and just reading the tea leaves, it was Carthon who asked for the pay cut, right? That's the reading of the room, and it was Vrabel who said he appreciated Kevin being a true pro and all that as soon as they got to camp, and here they are, and it's Vrabel that has to speak on it because Vrabel's been around him so long and Carthon had not been. So I think that all that plays a factor into the messaging, but make no mistake, Vrabel had the say on this, and it was Rand's crew that came up with the deal. I mean, that's how I read it, and if you want to have a collaboration, that's how I would see the collaboration going down in those efforts.
Last one for me, Hunt, and quickly, when you heard the news that the Titans were trading Kevin Byard, did you think that the Titans were, for lack of a better word, giving up on the season?
It depends. So here's what I thought. I still don't know. I still don't know the answer to that. When I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, the writing was on the wall for this because of what happened this offseason. And the fact that, you know, the heavy hitters, the big money guys on defense aren't necessarily making those same plays we've seen. But I needed to see, okay, is this a for sale sign? Is this, we are open for business, wide open. There's no untouchables. We welcome all that wants to come in and see what we have out for the yard sale. Or is this, we need picks. The next time we can do this is in the off season, and we can't trade Kevin Byard in the off season. So we don't want to trade. So let's do it now and get what we can. Plus Howie's willing to give us a safety in return, plus two picks. I don't know. I think it's a combination of both, but if they start trading more vets, Caroline, that's when I think, yeah, that's a much more difficult sale behind the scenes than, we traded away a vet that was very tough, but we have to do both. And it's mm-hmm. the hard line of the business. And he's going somewhere where he wants to be. And we're where we need to be going into the offseason with more picks than what we had, which was just three picks other than seventh rounders. So it's the chapter is not written on the trade deadline yet. I need to see all of that. But it would certainly tell us by trading him when they did that I don't necessarily think three wins instead of two changes what happens with this deal. And it's just based on the timing of it. They had another week to wait if they wanted to and chose not to.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate our time with you on Wednesdays. We'll chat next week.
Thank you so much. And I cannot wait to see how the team responds to all this. They've played well at home, and the Atlanta Falcons are certainly beatable. And this is typically where Vrabel gets a good performance and has good coaching moments with plays. So I'm very eager to see what happens against his former OC.
It really has. It's been a juicy, juicy little bye week. What better way to keep it going than a win?
The line has gone from 1 to 2.5. The Falcons are now the favorites. It started Falcons by 1. Now it's Falcons by 2.5.
I wonder what it would be if Malik Willis was named the starter.
Five, seven.
Ian Rappaport probably knows people. Vegas knows people, too. So they're setting that line with some knowledge, I think.
That's true. They are also factoring in Atlanta.
Oh, no, Will, are you saying with some knowledge of the trades that are coming up?
No, I think with some knowledge of what the Titans look like at quarterback. Yeah. Like, I think they get their share of injury information. They get their share of inside sources, things like that. True? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the line's usually pretty good. They're usually pretty good at an accurate line.
No doubt they do.
I'm curious now when the people start making their wagers, does the line move even more?
Have you heard the conspiracy on Bijan Robinson from last week? Can I give this
NFL is investigating the Falcons,
fantasy football, you know, leagues are all up in arms, right? Because he was active, there was no injury report, whatever. But he played like 13 snaps, and with 33 seconds left to go in the game, he had a carry. And the theory, conspiracy theory is that carry and those snaps took place in order to make sure that Vegas and the sports books and the apps that the NFL is in partnership with could say that there was no underlying message of not being on the injury report with a headache the night before and not feeling right, and that no refunds would have to be issued on bets or parlays placed with the Falcons last week and the Bucks. That's the conspiracy theory.
I might put some stock in that if it was of decided game, but the game went down to literally the last play.
And the Falcons won the game, right?
On the last play of the game.
If Bijan doesn't record a stat in that game, all of his bet lines, stat lines are all voided in parlays and wagers. Yeah. So if that's voided, it would have all been held, you know, regular standard to anybody that was betting on Bijan.
So what would be the communication system of getting to Arthur? Arthur, I know you're trying to win this game and win a division, but we need you to give the ball to Bijan at least one time. Before the game, is there somebody Roger Goodell has a special frequency there? Like how would that work?
Smith's secretary knocks on his door, like Arthur. No, you're trying to win. Sportsbook is on the line.
Yeah, you're trying to get him to play, but he doesn't feel right. And it's like, hey, you don't want to play him. He doesn't feel right. You intended on him being available, but he's active. He's not on the injury report. Why is he not playing? I mean, that's. Again, I'm not all the way in on that. I just it's not about fantasy football. A lot of the fantasy sites are writing about it. It's not about fantasy football. Why that rule's in place, where you have to disclose how a guy feels, or after you make a road trip, how he wakes up in the hotel.
Right.
So
I like that conspiracy. They didn't build those fancy buildings in the
Hutt,
in the desert.
You just gave two people that love conspiracies a great conspiracy. Now we're done for the rest of the week.
Sorry, Willie.
Yeah, like the X-Files over here.
He's going to play a lot on Sunday.
Boulder and Scully to my left here. Ooh, the Falcons beat John. Ooh, let's get on the case.
Hutt,
we need to call Arthur. Arthur Blank, not Arthur Smith.
All the Arthurs. Hutton, you're the best. We'll chat soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's continue the conversation because you've got a bunch of thoughts and we've got a bunch of thoughts. And one thought that I've had is, what does success for Will Levis look like on Sunday? Doesn't necessarily have to show up on the scoreboard, but what would quantify, quote unquote, success, if I can borrow one of Joe Rexroad's gestures of his air quotes. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.